I have to start out with a good morning because I came here not expecting anybody to show up. But look who's here. Y'all. I actually brought three messages with me this morning. Fourth, if you want to call none a message. So who knows where I'm going to go right now? How about I start with an old verse that you all know well. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You all know who said that? One of his disciples. One of the apostles. Tom. Are we like Thomas? Do we have to see a miracle in front of us to know that God is performing miracles in our lives every day? And if we are, how sad is it? I cannot bring you the old tabernacle so that you can see the sacrifices performed right there in front of you. And I can't show you the priests as they go through their service to God. I can't bring you the new temple, the one that's built without hands, so you can witness our high priest, Jesus, interceding for you every day to the Father. All of that you must believe by faith. Now, Scripture this morning emphasizes the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it contrasts it to the imperfect sacrifices that were offered under the Old Covenant. Our Lord's superior priesthood, we read before, belongs to a better order than Aaron's, the order of Melchizedek. And it functions on the basis of the new covenant, not the old covenant. And it's in a better sanctuary. It's up in heaven. And all of this, the new covenant, the great high priest, it all depends on the better sacrifice. That's the theme of today's scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Now this chapter presents three truths that explain why the sacrifice of Jesus is so much more superior than that old covenant was. So I'll jump right to the first one. Christ's sacrifice takes away sin. Verse 1. For the law, Hebrews 10, verse 1, the law having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offered continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every day. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That's our biggest problem, sin. And I don't care what religion you are, which one you follow, if it doesn't deal with sin, it's of no value. It doesn't do you any good. By nature, we are sinners. And by choice, we prove it every single day. Somebody said this, and I don't know who, but it's probably correct. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And based on that, mankind needed a better sacrifice than the one of bulls and goats and lambs and pigeons and whatever you could afford. The whole old covenant sacrificial system was inadequate. It didn't work. The law was just a shadow, as our scripture said, of the good things to come, and not an end in itself. It was a picture type of the work that our Lord would do on the cross. So that meant that that old system was temporary. It could accomplish nothing permanent. They repeated these sacrifices day after day. The Day of Atonement happened year after year. And all it did was cover the nation's sins. But they were not cleansed. And so they had to do it again the next day. And the next year. It could not. In fact, it was designed not to provide a once for all redemption. Only the perfect sacrifice of the Son of God was able to do that. Now in verse 5, it says, therefore, and the therefore means because of verses 1 through 4, and the inadequacy of the old covenant, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings, offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. It was God who provided the better sacrifice, not man. And the quotation that I read was from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. And it's referring to Jesus' incarnation. The phrase says, when he came into the world, that's when he came in as the baby, a human baby, God himself. And it makes it very clear that Jesus was the fulfillment of what the old covenant sacrifices were a picture of. Now, I found it interesting, the phrase, a body you have prepared for me in verse 5, is not in that psalm that was quoted. And the writer of Hebrews was grabbing that from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In Psalm 40, verse 6, it doesn't say that. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. My ears you have opened. burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. But it mentions in the psalm, opened ears. Interesting. Probably signified a readiness to hear and obey the will of God. Jump over to Isaiah 50 just for a sec, in your mind anyway, and I'll read it. In Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn away." Open ears is indicating a body, soul, and mind ready for service. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you open all our ears to you, Lord, for that reason. Now, I don't know if you noticed it, but in that paragraph that I read, we heard God had no pleasure. He said that twice. He had no pleasure in those old covenant sacrifices. He had no delight in those sacrifices. He does have pleasure in obedient hearts of worshipers. And so that's the pleasure he had when they went through the sacrifice in the old covenant day after day after day, year after year after year. And then he told us that no amount of sacrifices would take away sin. And so no amount of sacrifices would substitute for obedience. He wants obedience from us all. And Jesus came, he was obedient to the Father. He came to do the Father's will. And the Father's will was the new covenant. And it replaced the old covenant. And through his death and his resurrection, Jesus took away that first covenant. And he established the second. Us, believers, have been sanctified. You're sanctified. You're set apart by the offering of Jesus Christ. Once for all. No old covenant could ever do that. The second truth is Christ's sacrifice, death on the cross, resurrection, doesn't have to be done again. It doesn't have to be repeated like the old covenant sacrifices. And the fact that he sat down at the right hand of the Father when he ascended into heaven is proof his work is completed, done, finished. The ministry of the priest in the tabernacle and then later on in the temple, it was never finished. It was never different. They offered the same sacrifices every day. Think about this. Better still, understand that what tens of thousands of animal sacrifices could not accomplish, Jesus accomplished it with one sacrifice. Himself. Forever. It's done. And all, you know, all in Greek means all. Everyone who believes have nothing to fear. You have been perfected forever. And we have a perfect standing before God now because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Because the Spirit gives witness of it through God's Word. When you trust Jesus Christ, your sins are all forgiven. The guilt is gone. The matter is settled. It's like a judge when he hits the gavel. Done. Over. Finished. Not guilty. There's a story in the Bible. It's about a woman that was not a good woman. I mean, she played around a lot. But she was set up for this. And they caught her with a man, was not her husband. And they threw her at the feet of Jesus, asking him to condemn her. But what did he do? When he told all her accusers that you who have no sin among you at all, you throw the first stone. And the guilt was so powerful in their own conscience, it says they all left, one by one. And he looked at the woman, Jesus did, and what did he say? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. No matter what we have done, Jesus is willing and able to forgive us if we will just change our life and follow him. The third truth is Christ's sacrifice opens the way to God himself. In the old covenant system, there was not one worshiper that dared to go into the Holy of Holies. In fact, there wasn't a priest that dared to go into the Holy of Holies, except the high priest, that's one, and only once a year. And the ritual he had to go through to go in there so that he didn't die was a sacrifice for himself, a cleanse washing. And there was the thick veil that separated the two. That was the barrier between God and people. And only the death of Jesus Christ could tear that veil in half. It says top to bottom, and the way was open. Anybody could go in there. We can go into the heavenly sanctuary where God the Father is. This open way into God's presence, it's the new covenant. It's not part of that old one. It's living because Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. And he is the new living way. And we can only come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We know that because Scripture says, I am the way. Jesus is talking. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one, just like all means everyone, no one means nobody, comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. It's very clear. Now, sometimes the Scripture is difficult to understand. And there's a whole lot of other versions out there of God's Word. And they put it in plain text, simple language, and stuff like that. But some of them aren't good translations. And I won't go into which ones I'd stay away from. But there's some out there I wouldn't. So if you didn't comprehend quite what Hebrews 10 was saying. I'll try to word it a little differently. God wants to forgive you. He wants to. And there's nothing, nothing that you have done that he won't forgive. All you have to do is come to his Son. You have to allow him to be your Lord and your Savior. It's that easy. I mean, that's it. So the question is, will you today give your heart over to Christ? Trusting him with your life. Not waiting another day, because tomorrow may be too late. We sing a song, today is the day of salvation. Don't let it pass by till you've said, yes, Lord, come into my heart. I open the door to my life and I will trust only in you. That's it. Lord, call us. For those that don't hear, open their ears, Lord. Make them ready to be your servant. Open their heart that they receive you to live and dwell within and to serve only you. For those that are here today that might still be on the borderline, time is running short. Speak to those people, Lord. For those that aren't here, bring them. Bring them before you next Sunday, that they may come and accept you. We thank you for being our shepherd. In Jesus' name we all come to you. Amen.